I'll just wait here for Jack.
Wait for Jack. Wait for Jack.
Oh, hello, Polly. Polly, want a cracker?
Polly, want a Kleenex.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Well, don't worry, Polly. You'll be better in a few days. Oh, hello, Jack. I wanted to...
Just a minute, Mary. Now, what were you saying, Mary?
Nothing. May I say hello to Don now, or visiting hours over?
Well, Mary, I only locked the door so that no one could disturb Don while he's thinking. How are you?
Oh, fine, Jack, fine.
Okay.
I just did a little shopping. I bought myself a new evening gown.
A new evening gown, huh? What color?
Well, it isn't a solid color. It's something brand new and the latest style out here in California. It's pure white with yellow spots.
White with yellow spots?
Uh-huh. It represents an orange tree peeping through a snowdrift.
Orange.
Oh, but you know, Jack, it's really a beautiful gown. And it has such a low neckline.
Even the dresser must be skimpier than ever. Last season, necklines were so low. See, I imagine next year...
Stop thinking about it, Jack. Your little blue eyes are popping out.
By the way, Mary, how come you bought a new evening gown?
Oh, for Barbara Stanwyck's party Saturday night.
Barbara Stanwyck is having a party?
Yes, a real swank affair. Everybody will be there.
Really?
Yes, Barbara told me they were having so many guests, they even hired a man to park cars.
No kidding.
Don't act innocent. I was the one who recommended you.
Recommended you.
Oh, stop imitating Ronald Coleman.
All right. Now, excuse me, Mary. I want to go into Dan and talk to Don for a minute. Well, have you signed the contract yet, Don?
No, Jack, not yet.
Well, I'll go out again. Let you think about it some more.
No, I can't think. I've been locked here in here since early morning. I've eaten for hours. I starve.
Hungry? Well, look, Don. All you have to do is sign the contract and go out for lunch and get a nice thick steak.
Steak?
Yes. A thick, juicy sirloin covered with mushrooms. On the side, a big baked Idaho potato, dripping with butter.
Please, Jack!
A nestling all around the lovely steak will be golden brown French fried onions. And for dessert, you can have pie a la mode, covered with buttercream.
Stop!
Well, look, Don, I'll leave you here in the den to think it over. I'll be back soon.
What about it, boss? Have you signed yet?
Not yet.
He sure took this time.
Yeah, look, Rochester, go in the kitchen, put some coffee on, start frying some bacon, and blow the fumes toward the den.
Oh, boss, you rascal, you!
Never mind. Just go do it. And make a hamburger for me. I want to eat it in front of them.
Jack, what are you up to now?
Nothing. Say, Mary, I'm going to have to do something about a commercial for the show. Don didn't bring the sportsmen over.
Oh, yes, they did, Jack. They're out at the pool.
The pool? Swimming?
No, ice skating.
They are? Oh, yes. My pool is still... Uh-oh. The sun's coming out and the ice is starting to... There goes the tenor. Oh, well, I'll fish him out later. Say, Mary, would you... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I just got back in town a few minutes ago.
Yes, Jack. Dennis was just telling me that he was up at Big Bear for the winter sports.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I went up there with my mother and father. First, my father didn't want to go, but my mother made him.
Why? I thought your mother and father were mad at each other. Why would she make him go?
She heard the snow up there was 6 feet deep. My father's only 5 feet 4.
Oh, my goodness. What happened to your father?
Nothing. He was wearing elevator shoes.
Now, Dennis, stop making up those crazy things.
Okay.
Silly kid.
Say, Dennis, while you were up in the snow, did you do any tobogganing?
Yeah, I went down the toboggan slide 4 times, and it was awful. What people see in that ride, I'll never know.
Why? What happened?
I got my face all cut up and my knees scraped, too.
Well, Dennis, maybe you didn't know how to steer your sled.
Oh!
sled!
Dennis, Dennis, you mean you went down the toboggan slide without a sled?
Yeah, the
other... On your stomach?
The other side hurt from ice skating.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, look, Sid, what'd you come over here for anyway?
Tell you the song I picked for Sunday's show. It's Here I'll Stay, and I'm going to sing it at Barbara's sandwich party on Saturday night, too.
Oh, are you going to entertain at Barbara's party, Dennis?
Oh, no, I'm just a guest. The real entertainer will be Yasha Heifetz.
Yasha Heifetz, a lot of help, he'll be at the party. I bet he hasn't even got a driver's license.
Will I see you at the party, Mr. Benny?
You sure will, kid. He'll be wearing top hat, white coat, and flashlight.
Yeah.
See, this is amazing. For once, I don't understand them.
ladies and gentlemen, John Wilson locked in Jack's den and Jack tied in the dentist chair. It's up to me to say, don't forget to listen in to the CBS Sunday lineup, which includes the Prudential Hour, Spike Jones, Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Lum and Abner, and Sam Spade.
Rochester, what a time I had. I spent the afternoon in a dentist chair.
Well, we've been having a little excitement here, too.
Oh, has Don Wilson signed the contract yet?
No, but he ain't four pence.
Oh. Well, I'm going up and go to bed. Good night, Don.
Show your lucky strike, and don't forget to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day.
And be sure to listen to the Jack Benny Show, transcribed at the same time next week.
From the CBS Radio Network, February 6th, 1949, and that was the Jack Benny program, an edited version of that particular show, where Don refuses to sign his contract. We're paying tribute to the great announcer Don Wilson, who passed away Monday, April the 26th, 1982. And we'll be right back with more of Don't Touch That Dial from KCSN Northridge right after these messages.
Oh, it doesn't seem possible, George, darling. Our dream of taking a world cruise is finally coming true.
Yeah, with all the money it's costing, I better not get seasick.
Now, just remember to take your pills, dear. Oh, isn't this a lovely bon voyage party?
Yeah. Hey, what's that?
That's the ship's orchestra.
That reminds me.
Reminds you of what?
I'm getting off this ship.
But you can't. The ship's moving away from the dock.
Watch me. If I hurry, I can get to a radio in time to hear jazz with Greg Lange on KCSN.
But, George...
I just realized, if I went on this three-month cruise, I'd miss 39 Jazz with Greg shows, three nights a week on KCSN. Sundays at 8, Tuesdays at 11, and Thursdays at 10. So, goodbye.
But the cruise line won't give you a refund.
So it's only money. The Greg Land Show is a rare jewel in the crown of jazz. Have a nice trip.
George, you get down off that rail.
See you later.
George!
You're listening to Don't Touch That Dial. My name is Bob Lyons, and Barbara is not with us. We are on tape today, so it is kind of a special program. Not only the fact that we're on tape, but the fact that we are paying tribute to Don Wilson by playing a lot of Jack Benny shows. Whenever you mention Jack Benny, you can't help but mention Don Wilson. Here from March 8, 1975, is a telephone interview with Don Wilson.
Again, of course, was Mary. Mary Levinson, Jack's wife. Frank Parker, in the beginning, was the singer on the show. Don Bester headed up the orchestra on the show. Then, as time went on, the orchestra changed for a time. Johnny Green, now John Green, who's won several Academy Awards for his work at MGM and the scoring of pictures there. He's a dignified conductor that conducts symphonies at the Hollywood Bowl and elsewhere now. John Green was the musical director, so-called, orchestra leader. And then Kenny Baker followed, if I recall correctly, Kenny Baker followed as vocalist, Frank Parker. Then Dennis Day came in, and the time that Dennis was on the show and went into the service, a man named Larry Stevens was the singer on the show. And then Dennis, of course, rejoined when he came back out of the service. Rochester joined us sometime in the late 30s, I believe, after a very diligent and long, long search by Jack to find a black man to play the character of Rochester. And he discovered Rochester in a nightclub as an eccentric song and dance man, talked with him, and put him under contract. And, of course, Rochester became a great feature on the show. Frank Nelson was a very, very capable actor in radio, working very hard on many shows. And he developed that type of character on the Benny Show, like the floor walker with the carnation. And Mel Blanc, of course, was in radio. He came out of Portland, Oregon, I believe. And he was a man of a thousand voices. And did sound effects vocally as well as reading lines. I think that you're running one of Jack's films called The Violin Teacher, in which Mel Blanc plays the part of the violin teacher. Sheldon Leonard was the racetrack tout. Your Money or Your Life. Sheldon has been, for a number of years now, one of the leading producers of television shows, particularly films and specials. He's been an actor in motion pictures. I saw Frank Nelson and his wife at the Benny services, and I saw Rochester at that time. You might be interested to know that the last 2 years we were in production, we couldn't use Rochester as frequently as possible, as we had before, because he had a stroke similar to General Eisenhower's. This impaired his speech, his locomotion, his hearing, sight, and so forth. And so when we could do, we were filming, and when we could do a scene in short bits, then we could use Rochester. But he wasn't able to sustain a scene due to his unfortunate circumstances. But he gradually improved some after that.
Now it's time for a complete Jack Benny show from Armed Forces Radio Service. As it was heard on May 17th, 1954, we present the Don Wilson story on the Jack Benny program.
And now, around the world, the Jack Benny program. With Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in presenting the star of our show, it gives me great pleasure to bring you a man who...
Just a minute, Don. Hold it a minute.
What?
Don, today, instead of you introducing me, I'm going to introduce you.
Me?
Yes, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, today not only marks the anniversary of Don Wilson's 30th year in radio, but it also commemorates his 20th year with me. So, Don, take a bow.
Oh, Jack, this is so touching.
Don, this day is yours. Today we will all pay homage to you. When I say we, I mean the entire cast. Your slightest wish will be our command. Whatever you... Don. Don, you're crying.
But, gee, I can't help it, Jack.
See, the way those tears are running between your chins, it looks like you're irrigating something. Now, Don, please stop sniffling.
Well, I'm all right now, Jack. I just couldn't help getting emotional when I realized that you've been with me for 20 years.
No, Don, you've been with me. With me.
to think that I came on this show when it was down, and because of
down.
And because of my personality and showmanship, I raised it to the pinnacle of success.
Down? Wait a minute.
It wasn't easy, and there were many setbacks, but every time the show was down, I brought it up again.
Now, wait a minute, Don. My show was never down. So don't make things up.
Well, now let's not argue. Really, let's don't argue because, well, and besides, I want to thank you for making this not only a memorable, but a profitable occasion.
Profitable? What did Jack do for you, Don?
Go ahead, Donzie. Tell Bob Crosby. Tell
well, Bob, not only did I get $500 cash, but I also got a brand new DeSoto convertible for my wife, a trip to New York for the two of us on the Super Chief, and a whole week at the Waldorf Astoria. Jack, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, gosh, Jack gave you all of that?
No, but it was his letter that got me on Strike It Rich.
You're darn right.
Well, Jack, I guess it won't seem like much now, but, well, since today is Don's 20th anniversary with you, the boys in the band got something for him, and here it is, Don.
Oh, gee, thanks, Bob.
What is it, Don? What is it?
Well, now, wait, Jack, till I unwrap it.
Okay. Boys in the orchestra, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jack. Oh, Jack, look at this. A diamond-studded cigarette lighter.
Well, I'm glad that you like it, Don. My musicians went through a lot of trouble to get it for you.
Well, Bob, that's a beautiful lighter your boys got for Don, but you'd think it would be wrapped a little better. Who did it?
The owner of the store.
The owner of the store? I could have wrapped it better than that.
Not with your hands up over your head.
Bob, you mean the boys held up a jewelry store?
Well, it was an accident, Jack. You see, when they walked into the store, Remley had his guitar under his coat.
Uh-huh.
The man thought it was a machine gun. He threw up his hands and said, "Take anything that you want."
Well, that's still dishonest. Frankie should have opened his coat and showed the jeweler that it wasn't a gun.
Oh, Frankie did better than that. He took out the guitar, started to play, and the guy said, "Look, you got what you want. Stop torturing me."
Well, that I can understand. Anyway, Bob, it was very nice of your boys to bring down that present.
Well, he deserves it, Jack. After all, he took this program when it was down, and he started...
It wasn't down! Now, look, this show isn't 5 minutes old, and already I'm aggravated.
That makes two of us.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dennis. What's the matter with you?
I got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
So what?
I fell out the window.
What?
It's three stories. Boy, am I lucky I wasn't hurt.
Oh, you landed on your head, huh? Was that it? Was that it, Dennis?
No, on the mailman's head.
Oh, fine.
I guess he'll have to find himself a new job.
A new job? Why?
Yeah, now he's too short to reach the mailboxes.
I don't know, Dennis. Everybody else just goes along. Why do these stupid things keep happening to you?
Oh, I guess it's because I got such a bad start in life. You know, I was an incubator baby.
An incubator baby? How much did you weigh?
11 pounds.
Dennis, if you were that big, why did they keep you in an incubator?
They were afraid to let my mother get her hands on me.
Well, what did your father have to say?
Nothing. He was hiding in there with me.
This is all very interesting, but why don't you just sing now and save the rest of your biography for This Is Your Life?
I'd rather you got me on Strike It Rich.
All right. I'll do it sometime. Just sing.
Yes, sir. A big pizza pie at some more.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarandella. When the stars make you drool, it's just like a bust of Azula. Tamore! When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Scusa me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta fazool,
that's amore.
La 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 la. When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet,
you're in love.
Amore.
When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore.
Signore.
Scusa me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. Scusa me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Singing That's Amore with the Sportsman Quartet. And fellas, if you don't mind, I'm dedicating that song to Don. You see, this is a special occasion today. It's Don Wilson's 20th anniversary with me. And in honor of this, for our feature attraction tonight, we're going to do a special sketch based on the life... Oh, excuse me. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bennett. This is Rochester.
Rochester, I'm in the middle of my show. What do you want?
Well, boss, do you remember that sweet little old lady who came by here last week?
Little old lady?
You know, the one that sold you that 50-cent raffle ticket on a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
Well, she's back again.
What does she want this time?
$100,000. She fell down your steps.
Well, Rocha, she's suing me for $100,000?
Cheer up, boss. I got some good news for you, too.
What good news?
You won the dog.
Rochester, who cares about the dog? I'm being sued for $100,000. Tell me, was the woman badly hurt?
She claims she sprained her ankle.
Sprained her ankle? Well, that's no grounds for a suit like that.
That's what I told the poor man with her.
Four men. Are they lawyers?
I think so. Their names are Habeas Corpus, Delecti, and Giesler.
Giesler? She just sprained her ankle. I didn't blacken her eye. Now, look, Rochester, don't admit anything and get in touch with my insurance man. I'm covered for things like this.
Okay.
I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
We just got a copy of Parade magazine and your picture is on the cover.
Parade magazine? Oh, yes, yes. And my picture's in color, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
How do my eyes look?
Green.
Green?
There's a spinach ad on the other side of the page.
A spinach ad?
When you hold it up to the light, you look like you're peeking through a head.
All right, all right. I'll see you when I get home. Goodbye.
Goodbye!
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. As I started to say, tonight, for our feature attraction, we're going to do the story of Don Wilson's life.
Oh, please, Jack. This is embarrassing.
Now, don't you be so modest, Don. You deserve it.
Yeah, I'll say. After all, you took the show and it was down and you put it right...
It wasn't where... down! And anyway, Dennis, that was 20 years ago and you were only 8 at the time. So how would you know?
I had a radio in my incubator.
Yeah, incubator. Now, come on, let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Don Wilson's 20th year on my program, we're going to present a play based on his life. the Don Wilson story, or life can be plentiful. Music.
Our story opens in Denver, Colorado, many years ago. The stork has just delivered a precious bundle to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Donald C. Wilson, Sr. The mother happily whispers to the father,
"Darling, it's a boy."
And the proud father said,
"Yes, aren't we lucky? The stork brought us a boy."
And the stork said,
"Oh, my aching back."
As the proud parents leaned over the crib looking at their newborn son, the baby said, "3 days later," he said,
"I want a roast beef sandwich."
He was developing slowly. During that first week, 3 nurses quit because they just couldn't stand giving him his bottle. It was exasperating. The gravy would slip through, but the mashed potatoes were murder. But Donald was a good boy, although his parents did have trouble getting him to sleep.
Now, come on, baby. Come on. It's time for Betty Bar. Now, baby, stop that. Baby, stop. Baby, put me down.
Let me have him, dear.
Okay.
Now, Donald, close your little eyes and Mommy will sing you to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. If the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come Donald, Denver and all. Look, dear, he's asleep.
The years passed quickly and Don entered college. And since his burning ambition was to become a radio announcer, he majored in elocution.
How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
And the cow and Don... Don was a brilliant student. And he graduated from college, magna cum laude. But the night that he was packing to leave the campus, he got an emergency call. His father had met with an accident. Don dropped everything and rushed to the hospital.
You may go in and see him now, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, nurse.
Oh, and don't stay too long. It was quite an accident, and, well, your father's quite old now.
Yes, I keep forgetting. You know, I haven't seen him for years. Dad. Dad.
Howdy, Blubber.
Gosh, Dad, I just can't get over it.
What's that, son?
Well, I know it's been a long time since I've seen you, but I'd hardly recognize you. How come you look so different?
Because Bob Crosby can't play the part of an old man.
Don had made up his mind to be a radio announcer. Although Don didn't know it at the time, our paths were about to cross. I was doing a show then for the Universal Corset Company. The one day my sponsor called, so I went straight to his office.
Gee, my sponsor really has a nice building here. He certainly believes in advertising. Look at that big neon sign. The Universal Corset Company. And look at their slogan. Gather unto you what is yours. Well, I better go in. I beg your pardon, sir, but would you tell Mr. Willoughby that Jack Benny's here to see him?
Well, Mr. Willoughby's expecting you, Mr. Benny. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
Mr. Willoughby, please.
Oh, you're Mr. Benny. Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
I'm here to see Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, you're Jack Benny?
Yes.
Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
Miss, I'm Jack Benny. Mr. Willoughby is expecting me.
Who's Mr. Willoughby?
Look, miss, isn't this the Universal Corsa Company?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Willoughby is the president.
Oh, you mean Poopsie.
Poopsie?
Yes. Go right through that door.
Oh, well, all right. Mr. Willoughby?
Yes, surprise.
Mr. Willoughby, I'm Jack Benny.
Yeah, I know. Come right in.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Willoughby, what is it you wanted to see me about?
Well, I hate to bother an artist of your stature with trifles, but a strange thing has happened since you've been broadcasting for us.
What's that?
We've been losing money. We've been selling corsets for 15 years, and this is the first time the company is feeling the pinch.
Mr. Willoughby, just what is your complaint about my program?
I can't stand the way you read our commercials. I want you to hire an announcer.
So I started auditioning announcers. I tried voices. Voices, all kinds of voices. Deep ones, high ones, soft ones, loud ones.
All right, Bud, you're next. Read this. The Universal Corset Company presents Jack Benny. Now, the show opens, and you say...
No.
Yeah, that's awful.
I auditioned over 500 people, but I wasn't getting any place. It was then that I decided to try my luck at the famous Acme Elocution School.
A with a U is A-U-A-U. D with a U is D-U-D-U. U-D-U-D-U-A-U-A. G with a U is G-U-G-U. E with a U is E-U-E-U. A-U-E-U-D-U-D-U.
Very good, students. Very good. Now, what did you think of that, Mr. Benny?
P with a U is P-U. P-U.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You see, I'm a big comedian, and I couldn't resist the opportunity. But I really am looking for a radio announcer.
Well, you've come to the right place. Now, let's see. In this class, I have little Harry Von Zell, Billy Goodwin, Jimmy Wallington, and that fat one over there is Donald Wilson.
Donald Wilson. Gee, I like that name, and he looks like he might be just right for my program.
Well, certainly, Mr. Benny. I'll call him over. Oh, Donald. Donald, this is Jack Benny.
How do you do?
How with an H and an O and a U and an O and a D is a how do you do?
Now, Mr. Wilson, I'm considering you as an announcer for my program. And if you take the job, I hope everything turns out fine.
Thank you.
Now, about your salary, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I'm so anxious to get into radio. I'll work for my 3 meals a day.
Well, I wasn't planning to go that high. Look, Mr. Wilson, money isn't everything, and you said yourself that you were anxious to get into radio.
I know, but if I'm not going to make a halfway decent salary, why should I go on a show that's down?
It's not down. How did I get in the script?
It's in there because it happens to be true.
It is not.
It is true.
It is not.
Jack, you're ruining the whole thing.
I don't care. My show was never down.
It was true.
You stay out of it.
Don't pick on him, green eyes.
What?
That's Helen and Poopsie.
there.
That doesn't.
Jack, let's get back to my story, the story of my life.
I don't care about your life. I'm sick of it. I'm going home. Goodbye.
Jack!
G with an O, with an O, with a D, with a B, D, bye. Goodbye. Don't try and be nice to me.
No doubt most of you fellas and gals in the service have heard of USAFI. But do you know what it means? Actually, USAFI stands for two things. First, USAFI stands for the United States Armed Forces Institute, the largest classroom in the world. But it stands for something else, too. Spell it backwards, and USAFI becomes IFASU, which means Insurance for All Servicemen Uninformed. But spelled forwards or backwards, USAFI is the key to your future success, whether you plan to follow a military or a civilian career. Enroll in a USAFI course today. See your unit IND officer or write USAFI, Madison 3, Wisconsin. For uniform education, study with USAFI.
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, boss.
What's that?
That's the Cocker Spaniel you won in the raffle.
Oh, isn't he cute?
You better like him a lot, boss. He may wind up costing you $150,000.
Wait a minute. The woman that fell down was only suing me for $100,000. What's the $50,000 for?
You're being sued again. The dog just bit somebody.
Oh, no. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, and John Tackerberry, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. Don Wilson speaking. Good night. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
From the Armed Forces Radio Service, that was the Jack Benny program, as it was heard on May 17th, 1954, celebrating Don Wilson's 20th year with Jack Benny, and what a good show that was. You're going to notice some similarities in the following bit of information. What we're going to do is go all the way up to San Francisco. Now, Channel 44, KBHK-TV in that city, during February of 1975, spent one solid week paying tribute to Jack Benny because it was the week of the 14th of February, which would have been Jack Benny's 81st birthday. He had died the preceding December of 74. Now, they got Don Wilson to sit in and host a whole week of retrospectives, and I thought it was a very nice thing that they did do that. And what we're going to hear now is actually a soundtrack of a television show. But it's kind of interesting because they did it on television, too. Basically, the same thing we just heard. But you'll see what happens as we join Channel 44 in San Francisco on February 14th, 1975.
The Bradshaw, normally seen at this time, will not be presented so that we may bring you the following KBHK-TV special, Jack Benny Week, a tribute. The following special tribute to Jack Benny is brought to you by General Foods Corporation, the makers of Jell-O brand desserts, which enjoyed a long, wonderful, and memorable relationship with Jack Benny. We wish to thank General Foods Corporation for donating their commercial time to the Cancer Society and to the Bay Area Symphony Orchestras.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny program.
Hello, and good evening. I'm Don Wilson. Welcome to KBHK's Jack Benny Week, a tribute. Today, Valentine's Day, would have been Jack Benny's 81st birthday. In his honor, and every night this week, Channel 44 is presenting one of his early television shows, the Jack Benny television programs, that is, and at 11:30, a classic Jack Benny feature film. All commercial time has been donated to some of Jack's favorite charities, including the San Francisco, Oakland, and the San Jose Symphony, and the American Cancer Society. Tonight's show is how Jack met George Burns. Jack was always a great audience for other comedians, and he was never the forward type, but he was always very quiet. But he was the greatest audience in the world for George Burns, because he and George had been such close friends for many, many years, since the early days of Vaudeville, when they first met and roomed together. And of course, George would come in and say hello, and Benny would fall down laughing. George used to do some of the silliest things in those days, and Jack, in his naive way, would always fall for it. I remember Jack telling the story of being at a Hollywood party in someone's home. It was a very large mansion, and all the guests were there in the ballroom, of course, for the evening's entertainment, which was to be a very famous opera star. As the singer entered, George Burns leaned over to Jack and whispered, "If you laugh, you're a skunk." Well, she sang one note, and Jack was collapsed on the floor. Just collapsed with laughter. Well, George was always doing silly things like that. So tonight's show is entitled Don Wilson's Anniversary. I've been with Jack Benny for about 27 years, and we decided it was time to reconstruct our first meeting. There were just two things I remember particularly about the show. I was sent to take elocution lessons, and there's a very funny scene involving me trying to speak with a mouthful of marble. Have you ever tried that? The other thing was trying to film a scene where I was supposed to be learning ballet. Now, Freddie DeCordova was the director. Freddie now produces the Johnny Carson show. And Freddie is a great director, what we in the business call an actor's director. But Fred said to me, and I was so surprised when he said it, he said, "Don, I just don't know how to get you into this ballet scene. We can't just discover you. We can't just discover you there in that silly costume." They dressed me in a ballet tutu. Really, it was very silly. So I suggested I enter rear first on my toes. Pretty silly, isn't it? So anyway, that's the way to did the scene. Now, another thing happened during the filming, but I want you to see the show first, and then I'll tell you the story after. Now, here's Jack.